This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Coming up, the Kalamazoo Nature Center's Michigan Butterfly Network is seeking citizen scientists to survey butterflies in the Kalamazoo area and around Michigan. But first, earlier this year, the state released a list of 38 schools classified as failing that could be closed down. That includes the Washington Writers Academy and the Woodward School for Technology and Research in Kalamazoo. Since then, the Kalamazoo and Saginaw school districts have filed a lawsuit against the state, and Governor Rick Snyder has delayed the decision on which schools will actually be closed. Meanwhile, state lawmakers are working on a new way to deal with struggling schools. Bridge reporter Chastity Pratt-Dossie recently examined the current Michigan law and what other states are doing with schools that don't meet standards. Chastity Pratt-Dossie, thank you very much for being with us.
Hello, Kalamazoo.
Let's begin with Michigan's current law, the school accountability law. How unique is it when we look at other states across the nation?
Michigan is in a class all its own when it comes to the way we deal with our failing schools. In this story that I wrote, I kind of tried to give people a feel for, like you said, what other states are doing. All this really started back in 2010 when the feds were trying to incentivize states to do something about their worst performing schools. This was called the race to the top. There was $5 billion, would it be? That and grants that the feds were giving to states for different reform models that they would implement to their schools. So that meant states had to adopt new laws for how to deal with their lowest performing schools. In Michigan, we went a step further, not only giving the lowest 5% of schools reform options, but also saying, look, if you are not reformed after 3 years, if after 3 years you continue to be on this lowest performing list, they called it the priority list, then the state can essentially close the school. That means that every year there's going to be some schools that have been in the bottom 5% for 3 years. So every year in Michigan, there are going to be dozens of schools facing closure. And we know that those schools tend to be in the same places in our city centers. So no other state does that. Other states, nine other states, change their law to say we will consider closing those schools, but very, very few have actually been closed using federal grant money or using any law, actually. So we're in a class by ourselves.
So in other states, is there some sort of a mechanism where a school which is struggling to meet standards can be closed down? And is it somehow different from what Michigan is doing?
So nine states in all since 2010 adopted laws that said, you know, if you're in the bottom 5%, you continue to be persistently low achieving, then the school will be closed. And in those nine states, maybe a handful have actually closed. But the difference is those were closure options that the school communities were actually on board with. For instance, there were states that said, you know, we want some of this grant money, but we have some schools that really do need to close, and we're going to use that money to close these schools. And the community was on board with it. Here in Michigan, our law does not allow for a public engagement, public meeting to happen. With these 38 schools, these communities have not had an opportunity to talk to the school reform office, to plead their case, to even hear the explanation as to why their school has been closed. There's no public engagement process in this closure procedure, and that's different from other states as well. But really, Gordon, I think the biggest difference is most states in the nation went and tried out and applied for these grants and, you know, made some changes to their laws to try and address their lowest achieving schools. But most states did not put closure in their law as something that was going to happen. Definitely not as a mandate that the state would that their states would enforce. So what they're choosing to do is actually reform the schools as opposed to close them. There are four reform models that the federal government essentially suggested to states and that have been adopted across the nation. And these four reform models include, okay, we're going to go into the school and replace the staff, or we're going to go into a school and just replace the leadership, or we're going to transform the actual curriculum, you know. These things are being used, these models, these reform models are being used as opposed to saying, you know, it's not working. Let's just close up.
You cite a couple of what we might call, I don't know if case studies would be the right word here, but instances mm-hmm. where schools were closed down because of other circumstances, for instance, in New Orleans after Hurricane
right.
Katrina. If we look at sort of the results of that, do we find that there was some sort of improvement for the kids who were going to those schools?
So across the nation, you see big cities especially closing schools for various reasons. I mean, you know, Detroit has more closed schools than open schools because of financial reasons mostly. And that has happened in other cities as well, from Philadelphia to New York to New Orleans with Hurricane Katrina. You see school closures. It's not totally new, but it usually has something to do with finances. And so because we've seen school closures over the last 20 years, there have been studies to say, okay, what happens when you close a school? What happens to the students? Do they get to go to better settings? Do they have better academic outcomes? And in New Orleans in 2005, after Hurricane Katrina, the state already had what was called a recovery school district. And so they said, you know, this could be an opportunity for the city of New Orleans to start with a clean slate. I mean, the schools were, you know, literally blown away. So they said the schools were poor performing. So what they did was they put most of New Orleans schools in their state recovery district, meaning state takeover, and they chartered them. They started them over, reset as charter schools. But the studies have shown that when you leave kids in a familiar setting, either in the building they're used to or in their neighborhood, and you sort of make the change gradual as opposed to just shutting a school down and sending kids, you know, elsewhere. The gradual closure, the gradual reset is more effective than just closing a school and hoping for the best when you send them to another community or another school. I think an even more vivid example is the one that I gave from New York. New York closed 40-some high schools over the course of 5 or 6 years, and that was mostly due to academic reasons. Mayor Bloomberg was trying to get some better graduation rates and better secondary school outcomes. So they closed a few dozen high schools. At the same time, they opened a couple hundred small themed high schools. And the studies of that showed that the students whose schools were closed didn't always end up in a better place. The graduation rate was a little bit higher, but not significantly. I mean, the real lesson is when you're going to close a school, if you don't find a setting that is significantly better achieving for these kids to go to, then, you know, it was all for naught. They're not going to do any better. And usually school closures happen in poor school districts, and usually those students do not end up in high-performing schools, and usually that means the academic outcomes aren't what people hope for and aren't really, you know, statistically better.
So in New York, even with the opening of these small themed high schools, they still were not able to move the needle significantly in terms of educational outcomes for these students who had been going to schools which had not been performing up to standards.
Right. I mean, and it makes total sense. If you're going to expect kids to have higher outcomes, you have to put them in a setting where they're, you know, making significantly higher outcomes. If you take the state reform office in Michigan is saying with our current school closure list that they're going to close these 38 schools, or they're thinking about it. And especially in a city like Detroit, which has 25 of those schools, the idea is to make sure those students go to a school that is in the 25th percentile or higher. No, you're talking about 25 schools that are in the fifth percentile or lower. They want to find a place for the students to go that's in the 25th percentile or higher. Well, Gordon, you know 25th percentile is not a good school, right?
Right.
So that's the thing. Parents are saying, you know, big whoop. You know, you're going to take the students and put them in a 25th percentile or higher school. That is not going to lead to significantly higher outcomes. Could it be incrementally higher? Yes. But for all of the negative impact of school closures, is that really worth it? That is the debate that's going on now. That is why you see so many rallies and protests from parents here in Detroit, especially, because they're saying, why close the school when you can instead focus on improving the school?
So if state lawmakers and people in Governor Rick Snyder's administration are sitting down to say, okay, we still want to address the problems that we have with struggling schools, but maybe the approach that we have taken is not working. And apparently several state lawmakers are looking into this. Is there a state out there that Michigan should look to as one that they can emulate and use as a model for how to handle this the right way?
You know, the gold standard is Massachusetts. You know, they don't close schools. They focus on turning them around. There's really in their law no capacity for their state Department of Education to close a local school. It has to go through the local school district, the local school board, and there has to be public engagement before a school closure is even considered. And also before a receivership or state takeover is considered, there's a long drawn out prescribed public engagement process. And also when schools in Massachusetts are identified as persistently low achieving, in their law, there's a prescribed step-by-step procedure for improving those schools, the standards which those schools are expected to meet each year in order to improve. And if they don't, then they face receivership. And if they face receivership, the community is pulled into the program. In Michigan, our law is really ambiguous, broad, and open to too much interpretation, so much interpretation that now we have this huge debate going on and this huge confusion, as it were, with why these schools are facing closure instead of reform. Again, states like Massachusetts, whose students are performing like at the head of the class far better than ours, they take a more detailed and prescribed approach to improving their schools, and they don't even ever really consider closing them. So that's what the parents are really rallying about. They want the schools improved in Michigan. They want the law to focus on school turnaround and school reform. And the other thing, Gordon, here in Michigan, the law says if your school is persistently low achieving for three consecutive years, then the school reform office can close you. What people don't realize is when you get to that point, the school reform office has already been engaged with your school and you've had to turn in school improvement plans, et cetera. So the question is, after 3 years, if the school improvement plan is not working in these schools, you know, what else can the state reform office do? What hasn't the state reform office done to help those schools along? So everyone has their fingerprints on this, but it's the students and the teachers in those schools who are facing, you know, the chopping block.
A couple of times you have mentioned politics here. I guess I'm just, you know, politics are everywhere, but have other states maybe found a way to limit the political influence or have found a way to shield education and these debates about school accountability from the political pressures that might be in play that you've discussed here?
It's all about political will, Gordon. I mean, right now, Senator Phil Pavlov, the education committee chair in the Senate, he has a bill now that would repeal Michigan's school accountability law that would essentially put a halt to this school closure law in Michigan. And I mean, this debate that is going on right now is the second, third, fourth huge school reform debate we've had in Michigan just since 2010. And the difference between a Michigan and a Massachusetts is the politics, is the political will, is the stick-to-itiveness. Other states that are doing well have come up with prescribed school reform plans that deal with what's taught in the classroom, how teachers are evaluated and trained, and how schools are funded. And they stick to those plans, whether the legislature goes Republican or Democrat, whether the governor is Republican or Democrat, whether it's a Tea Party or whatever party. There's fidelity to the school reform process. In Michigan, every couple of years, there's a new big plan that's throwing out the old plan, that's throwing out the old test. And that sort of instability is paralyzing us and is the reason why there were news reports out last week. It's the reason why Michigan students are dead last when it comes to school improvement, year over year improvement. We're dead last now. Other states, they come up with a plan, they stick to it, their students improve.
Chastity Pratt Dossey, thank you very much for your time.
Anytime.
You can read Bridge reporter Chastity Pratt Dossey's story on how other states handle struggling schools at bridgemi.com. There's also a link at WMUK.org. Our conversation was recorded Friday morning. That afternoon, the state announced that it is giving the 38 Michigan schools on the list for possible closure, including two in Kalamazoo, 60 days to come up with a turnaround plan. The plans would have to be approved by the State Department of Education and the School Reform Office. Schools that reach a deal with the state can avoid being closed, at least for now.